Welcome to the Vine Life Podcast. These are our Holy Week devotionals, read by four brilliant members of our community. We hope you enjoy.
Tuesday, Jesus Clears the Temple by Andrew Pickup. Mark 11:15 to 19. They came to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple and began to throw out those buying and selling. He overturned the tables and money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple. He was teaching them, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of thieves." The chief priests and the scribes heard it and started looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was astonished by his teaching. Whenever evening came, they would go out of the city. It's Passover, the highlight for our year, and a chance to visit your people's homeland and a capital city, Jerusalem. Not just to catch up with old friends and family, but also to bring your offerings to the one true God at his temple. You travelled up from Alexandria in the north coast of Egypt, echoing the journey of your forefathers, a journey you'll remember later this week with a meal of roast lamb and unleavened bread. While it's been a bit of a trek, thankfully you've made it in less than 40 years. You're ready to visit the temple and present your sacrifices. It wouldn't have made sense to bring a dove or a pigeon all the way from Egypt, so you're going to buy one in the temple courts. There are people from all over the world here too, wanting to pay their respects to the Almighty. You spot Jews from Rome and Babylon, as well as Gentile converts to the faith. As you enter the outer courts, your thanksgiving turns to minor confusion as to the way to be able to buy your dove. Your money has to be changed into temple currency, something to do with some law or other that you don't entirely understand. You're not completely convinced that you're getting the good exchange rate either. When the time comes to buy yourself a dove, it feels like you paid many times the price you'd expect to pay in your own currency. Someone somewhere is profiting from this, and you're pretty sure it's not you. As you head further into the temple, you notice that the Gentile converts, along with the women, are being kept in the outer reaches of the courts, something else about purity, no doubt. Then all of a sudden, there's a ruckus, the crash of tables turning over, and you hear a preacher with a Galilean accent address the crowds, speaking words you recognize from the great prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah. Just one day after riding a donkey into Jerusalem, here he is in the temple making a scene. Normally we find Jesus sat at tables, not turning them over. So what's got his goat today? Why does he react so strongly to what he sees going on here? What fuels his astonishing teaching? Jesus speaks of two scriptures that may give us a clue. Firstly, that the temple would be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is a direct quote from Isaiah 56, which seems to be less concerned with the house of prayer element and more focused on the temple being for all nations. Isaiah is telling of God's plan to bring all people to himself, and not just the nation of Judah. The separation and segregation that Jesus observes breaks his heart and is contrary to the vision that one day all people would come to worship the one true God. Isaiah's words are a clear invitation for everyone, including those traditionally spurned, like foreigners and eunuchs, to join the kingdom of God. No money changing required. As for calling the temple a den of thieves, Jeremiah 7 warns the people of Judah that even the temple won't be a hiding place from God's judgment. Their sin has corrupted them, and their worship of Yahweh is compromised by the worship of false gods. The temple is no longer a safe sanctuary for those who would exploit others. How often do we excuse our own sin, which is so much easier than forgiving others' sin, and assume that because we've ticked the box of worship, we'll be okay? Eventually, Judah's sin caught up with them, and as Jeremiah prophesied, and a few decades after Jesus, the Romans would once again destroy the temple. Jesus' reaction against the religious elitism and those who excuse their sin because they claim to be God's people invites us to consider how we excluded others in the name of holiness and set up barriers to others coming into God's presence whilst overlooking our own brokenness. Who have we written off or held at bay? How might we need to repent and change our ways? Perhaps today, rather than policing who's in and who's out, we could adopt the prayer of the tax collector and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, knowing that within the next 7 days, the power of sin will be forever broken by the cross of Jesus, and that nothing now stands between us but love.
Thanks for listening. We pray that this blesses you, and we'd love to see you this Sunday at our Easter gathering.